This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Glow Show, presented to you by Joy 94.9. I'm Will Lanting, and today we are discussing what you would most maybe consider the first line of defence and something that's very Australian at our core, looking out for each other. Neighbourhood Watch is a community-based crime prevention program which aims to improve the quality of life within a neighbourhood by minimising and preventing crime and promoting closer ties with the community. This program relies on the community and the police working together in partnership to achieve these aims. I couldn't possibly be more wrong when I'm thinking of Neighbourhood Watch when I think of my cat staring out of the window hours on end. But thankfully, it's far bigger and far more complex than my little putty cat looking out for the neighbourhood's cat. So here to discuss in more detail, we're here by the forever lovely leading senior constable, Gabby Tyack.
Forever lovely, I like that one.
And we're also joined by Jen Dixon, the LGBTI portfolio manager.
Welcome, Hi, Will.
Jen.
How are you?
And not forever lovely, apparently.
Hey.
And from Neighbourhood Watch, we are joined by Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles. Welcome, Doug.
Victoria Police, but I'm here, yes, definitely.
Excellent.
And also not lovely.
And we're joined by the lovely Bambi Gordon, who is the CEO of Neighbourhood Watch. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Will.
Glad to have you all here. We've got a nice full studio this afternoon. Now, as I said, the Neighbourhood Watch seems to be something that's close core to our Australian values. You know, we look out for each other. It's a very natural thing. So I'd imagine Neighbourhood Watch has a fairly big history. So where did it all begin in the Victorian community?
The first trial was in Frankston in 1983. So of course, I wasn't born. We're all going with that, aren't we? And it was so successful that it officially formed in 84. And we've got groups out around the place today, such as, say, Manningham with 700 members, that have been operating consistently since 1986. And a lot of the people are getting, you know, 30, 35-year service awards. So it's really well established. And as you said, it's kind of an iconic Australian brand, you know, based on that mateship and community and, as you say, watching out for each other. There's a negative to that as well, though, that people think that it's a bit old hat and it's not just your cat, but it's Mary next door sneaking out the curtain to see who's using a rubbish bin. And we're not that either. So that's one of our challenges that we have on at the moment, is to handle some of those perceptions that people have just because of the longevity of the organisation.
But Bambi, I'm kind of one of those people, because in my street, I'm always watching who are you walking down our street? And why are you driving slowly? Why are you driving too fast? And maybe that's because I'm a police officer, but
maybe.
I don't think so. Maybe it's why I'm a police officer, because I am one of those people.
As I said, looking out for each other is really important to us. And so you said it started off in Frankston, and where did it spread to from there?
I can't tell you specifically which suburbs followed which, but we did get to the point of having 30,000 volunteers.
Wow.
And you often hear that the Commonwealth Games in 2006 is held up as, you know, look at what Melbourne did. We had 15,000 volunteers. Well, at the same time, we had double. So it took on very quickly. You've got to remember, this is before social media, it's before the internet. So it really was those days where we would talk over the side fence and say, hey, did you happen to see that yellow car? It's been parked there for a while. And so it started on this idea of educating each other as to what was going on in your local community.
I imagine social media has played a big part in enhancing Neighbourhood Watch
these days. Oh, yeah. At the moment, we've got around 5,000 in the real world members, but we have around 70,000 following us on Facebook across a variety of groups. So that's not the main Facebook page, facebook.com/nhw.vic. But each of our groups out there, and even some who don't meet in the real world, have set up Facebook pages and Facebook groups and kind of follow the educational nature of Neighbourhood Watch and use our information to help educate people. And then, 70,000 of them.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, how big is the department? Now, I assume Neighbourhood Watch is a part of the Victorian Police Department, or is it totally separate?
No, it's me. Mm-hmm. In a cupboard.
It's a very large cupboard.
It's a large cupboard, but a cupboard nonetheless. Neighbourhood Watch is all volunteers except for me.
Okay.
I joined the organisation 4 months ago, so too many more questions and you'll discover how little I know, and I'll throw to Doug. But, it's going through a stage of rejuvenation and refreshing and becoming a lot more contemporary and robust than it's been in the past.
I think just, if I can just jump in on that, is that from a Victoria Police perspective, we value Neighbourhood Watch a lot. And one of the reasons is because of the community. So our role is obviously to keep the community safe. And one of the ways we do that is stakeholder engagement. One of our major stakeholders is Neighbourhood Watch.
Now, I've noticed Neighbourhood Watch is structured into regions. So how many regions do we have?
I'm trying to remember how many policing divisions all up.
21.
21, isn't it? Yeah. We're not necessarily in every region at the moment, but we're aiming to be. We want people to join. Again, that could be on social media or in real world. One of the things, too, if I can mention on social media, there are groups that are formed on social who, you know, they don't want to meet once a month in a drafty hall, sipping on a cold cup of tea and folding up the old newsletter so they can drop it into the letterboxes to feed the snails. Yeah. Which is what happens with a lot of them. But they're really interested in crime prevention. And we know that about 25% of a population at any one time believes that they have a responsibility to do something or to help. And they're the sort of people that are attracted to us.
With the social media side of things, is there any do's and don'ts? That would be we could probably have a whole afternoon on those. But what would be some of the fundamental problems that social media has created that we need to avoid and think about?
Yeah, there are fundamental problems with it, well as there are the benefits. The problem that we'll have is that we get some of our members who are really excited about the concept. They really want to help their fellow man. They really want to share information. So they will receive a private message on Facebook saying, "I just saw a yellow car and the man in a black hoodie got out of it and he looked at a post box and I don't think that was his letterbox." Well, actually, you know, the guy was helping a friend pick up the mail. It wasn't a problem at all.
And it just ties up resources.
So people will post information to us and then some of our groups will actually publish that. And it doesn't actually help with our sense of safety and perception of safety because it's being amplified where somebody repost, and suddenly we now think that all our letterboxes are under attack. And in fact, it was just one person in a street. So we have to be really careful at being disciplined and having a balance. And one of the things that we do around that is we say that with regard to posting crime itself, that needs to come from our VicPol partners or our iWatch page, or we at least need to know that the person who's telling us about this has reported to police first, because we don't want them just reporting to Facebook. And I get direct messages from people saying, "I think there's someone coming over my back fence, what should I do?" It's a direct message on Facebook. It can take me 20 minutes before I see that. And you'll often say to people, "You could dial 000 and you get a thank you back."
I mean, it amazes me, some of the people out there. Now, obviously, Neighbourhood Watch, community organisation, and it's associated with the Victorian Police. Who else are you partnered with? You connect with local governments and councils?
Yeah, we build stakeholder relations and, you know, some are more robust than others depending on where we've got really strong groups on the ground. So we also work with Crime Stoppers. We work with local councils. We're reaching out to some of the migrant research resource centres because we want to get a much more diverse membership than we've got. And, yeah, VicPol are there to, we're there to help them. We don't want to train up police that come out of the academy and then say, "Go and do letterbox drops for half the time that you're out there." They've got much more important things to do. But they also have the knowledge on the ground to be able to share with us. And so we can share that knowledge with a group who, you know, as it used to be, tell 10 friends who tell 10 friends. And before you know it, you've got an entire street who's bothering to lock the front door at night.
One of the first things that comes to my mind, obviously, when you talk about Neighbourhood Watch, it's a local home initiative.
It has been.
Yeah, but does it extend out into businesses or a wider community?
It's exactly where we're going. Yep. It's a concept that a neighbourhood isn't necessarily a residential street, where if you consider the 80s, mum was probably at home all day long and the neighbour next door was probably at home as well. We're not home. And a community can be, for example, all the people at Etihad Stadium for a football game just for that 2 to 3 hours. Let's watch out for each other. A community can also be, as we've been discussing, all the convenience stores across Victoria, or it can be a Main Street Traders. Community can be an apartment block where they've never actually met each other before.
Or it could be a block of factories, for example, businesses.
Yep, absolutely. And so that's where we're going, to share some of our safety prevention, the crime prevention messaging and target hardening, simple things that people can do where they'll be safer, but importantly, they'll feel safer.
Now, giving my age away, back in the 80s when I was at high school, or certainly in the 70s when I was at primary school.
I'm really feeling old now, Doug. How are you going?
I'm good with that. Good.
My first recollection of Neighbourhood Watch was the little placards that they had out the side of people's homes. And we were taught at school that if you felt in danger, you were to run into or find a house with a little Neighbourhood Watch placard. Does that still exist?
A common misconception. As I said, I've been in this role 4 months, so every day I meet new people. And when I say I'm from Neighbourhood Watch, the first thing is, is that still around?
Yeah.
And the second thing...
Well, wasn't that Safety House?
Yeah, I remember the little house stickers. And yeah, that was actually a different program, Safety House.
And I mean, does that still exist in some capacity?
I don't think so. I think there'd be some dangers that we're now more aware of in running a Safety House program.
Yeah, that finished about 15, 20 years ago.
Would be any plans to bring that back, do you think?
No.
Because that was a warm... thing as a kid.
It was a more innocent era,
yeah,
I think.
And I think that was at a time when, I don't even know how people would get that classification. I'm not sure if Doug knows.
Yeah, it was government allocated, so a government allocated classification, but.
The due diligence process would be quite lengthy nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, people are moving around so much that if you classified one house as a safety house, they may move very regularly, and then you've got who's in that house now, but it's still got the sticker on the letterbox.
Yeah.
So it'd be very hard to manage.
True. And I guess nowadays too, we used to traditionally walk home from school. I mean, today everyone's picked up from school. So, I mean, yeah. Outside of community and crime, parties. How does Neighbourhood Watch and what advice do you give for when you're holding a party or when people are running a noisy party? I mean, it's one of the pet hates that I have.
Yeah, certainly if it was happening to me, I'd just be calling police. So I'm throwing it to you guys as to what your best advice is on parties.
We have a safe communities unit that I'm involved with. We have a party safe register. That's one program. So you can actually go online and register your party, and then that's linked to a postcode, so it will go to the most appropriate and local police station. You can also go into your police station and register your party if you like, and they will literally physically fill out a form. So that informs the mobile patrols of the fact that a party is there. But the message we also try and get across is that quite clearly, though I'm not demeaning a noisy party, but it will probably come fairly low on our list of priorities, given that they're going to be weekends and what have you. If you've got to go to an armed robbery up the road, I think you're going to go to that before the noisy party.
The other thing too, can I say that, you know, Neighbourhood Watch is based all on really just educating people as to common sense things that they can do. And certainly in the area of parties, don't let your kids post it on Facebook or Snapchat.
Yeah.
Or if you can try to shut down the number of other connections that they have online who are aware of it, and in particular the address, don't share the address.
Now, when my semi-community, I live in a new area and we want to get more involved in Neighbourhood Watch, what's some of the things that we do and what are some of the tools?
A few things. You can invite nearby Neighbourhood Watch groups, a couple of those people, to come to you as a group and talk to you about some of the safety things that you can do. Talk to you about things such as 25% of the houses that will get broken into today in Victoria are being left open. Things such as don't leave your remote control for the garage door in the car. Because when you're at the shopping centre and I break into your car and I use your GPS to know what your home address is and your remote control's there, I can now open your garage. I'll go for the door that goes into the house from the garage. I know you're at the shops. I've got plenty of time to fill the car up with your belongings. So, you know, it's simple things like that you can have some other Neighbourhood Watchers come along and talk to you about. You can set up a Facebook page or group, sharing some of that information there and also asking us from State Office to provide you with that information. You can set up a real world group if there's nobody happening. And it can be designed the way that you want to design it. If it's not suitable for your area to meet once a month in a drafty hall, you don't have to do that. You create what works best for you. And I mentioned with regard to social media, what we're finding is that the people who are a little bit hesitant, and I would be one of these, to suddenly just turn up with a bunch of strangers and, you know, form a club and promise that I'm going to be there every week or every month. What we're finding is they reach out and establish relationships and learn about each other on the Facebook page. And then sure enough, within months, they're actually joining up in real world groups as well.
Look, in my neighbourhood, we have a Neighbourhood Watch Facebook page. And yeah, look, it's a really interesting and really good tool. And look, I can see some of the problems that's associated, which is what you've mentioned. But look, it is fairly successful. What about, certainly in the neighbourhood, I'm getting sense that neighbours are doing physical violence or emotional violence, or would that be something I would involve my Neighbourhood Watch people in, or would that be something I'd be going directly to the police, do you think?
I think you'd be going directly to the police, and I also think you've got some privacy issues there to worry about, and also that, you know, even if you're helping out a mate who you think's going through domestic violence, they don't want other people in most cases to know, and it's not an area that we get into. And that's why we talk about the partnership with VicPol, because they've got the knowledge and they've got the know-how of how to address these things. What we're sharing is the common sense learnings that we've received from them of what does and doesn't work.
Now, getting involved, where do I go to get involved?
Well, I need to apologise, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. If you go to this web address and you think it looks fantastic, then thank you, I've done a great job on our new website. If you go to it and think this is just horrible, please come back, because we're about to redo all of the website. It's a bit clunky. It's been getting added to and added to and added to over a decade, and things go wrong. It's nhw.com.au.
Excellent. And what's some of the future you see for Neighbourhood Watch? What's some of the visions you have?
We really want to encourage as many people in the community as possible to do something about their sense of crime in the area. Not vigilante. You don't have to go and do what the police do. But lock your doors. We want to get into schools and the education department and the scouts and the Girl Guides and talk to kids about some of the things that they can do. And again, it's not in a fearful way. It's just in a way of you have a responsibility as a member of the community and you have a responsibility for yourself. You mentioned before getting involved in business groups and industry groups and so forth, and helping them become safer in their businesses is also part of what we're going to do. So I think we're going to look a fair bit different in a couple of years than we look now, but at our core will always be grassroots people coming together to help each other.
And the Australian way.
And the Australian way.
Now, Gabby and Jen, how do the Glows fit into the Neighbourhood Watch, internally and externally?
As a Glow and a member of Victoria Police, we are often talking about how to remain safe and what to do to try to prevent becoming a victim of any sort of crime. So it's just part of our role to go out and educate people about things that they can do to protect themselves and things that they can do to protect other people, so their neighbours or their family or friends. There's nothing really special or different about what a GLOW can do. It's really what any member of the police force would do. Talking about safety messages, how to keep yourself safe, easy little tips of what to do. And often in our podcasts, or if we're live on air on Joy, we mention this all the time.
And you could obviously provide internal support, the GLOWs, for Neighbourhood Watch.
Specifically Neighbourhood Watch. No, I mean, I probably am glad I'm here today because I didn't know a lot about Neighbourhood Watch. I honestly didn't know that it existed until I spoke to Doug a little while ago, because like you, I have memories of it from the 80s and 90s, and then it kind of went quiet. And I'm really pleased to know that it still exists and hasn't and didn't actually stop during that period, that it was ongoing. I think as a community, we can certainly and should get involved, because keeping our community safe is everyone's responsibility. It's not just the police. And so as a resident of any neighbourhood, we should look into being part of Neighbourhood Watch, because it takes all of us to keep our community safe.
And it ties in with what we were already doing, I guess, in some aspects within Victoria Police as well. So we've got proactive liaison officers. So a lot of the themes and the kinds of advice that might come out of Neighbourhood Watch is very similar to what people like the crime prevention officers or other people that work in proactive policing roles might offer, that kind of assistance to the general public, whether it be through security assessments, or I know that's probably not falls outside of the Neighbourhood Watch remit, but around, you know, making sure that you know, you're locking your doors, you've got the appropriate kind of mechanisms in place in your house, you're not leaving yourself open to be a victim of crime, basically. So there's a lot of the messaging is sort of concurrent with what we do within Victoria Police, and it fits in nicely.
We do see, you know, groups out there, in particular, going back to social media, they go on about, oh, such and such happened. What are they doing about it? They're not the people who would join Neighbourhood Watch, because at Neighbourhood Watch, we don't believe that they should do something about it. We think we should.
A collective question really here is, do you get any negative feedback, as in Neighbourhood Watch is filling in for the police's work? What would your response be to that?
No.
Everybody?
Yeah, from my point of view, no, because we don't.
I haven't heard that personally. Mm-hmm. If we did, I'd want to know and speak to that person to find out literally, you know, how they came up with that concept, because that would be something that we as Victoria Police would really like to address, where Neighbourhood Watch are, as Bambi has, you know, quite eloquently said, as they are a stakeholder, but at the end of the day, the safety of the community is our job, and we take that very seriously. So if somebody thought that we weren't doing our job, my first line is always communication. I want to speak to them.
And I guess it comes down to interpretation as well. I mean, you know, I think you mentioned it before, Gab, and maybe you might have said it as well, Bambi, but, you know, policing, obviously there's aspects of policing which is very much in line with what, you know, the focus of what police actually do. I know that sounds very simple, but there are other aspects to pilot, which, you know, the whole community can get involved in. And there's, it should be for everybody within the community to really take an interest in their surroundings. I mean, you know, obviously the police do what they can in terms of the legal side of things, but when it comes to actually just looking out for your neighbours or, you know, your fellow man, whatever it may be, I mean, everybody can get involved in that. And so, you know, and that assists with policing, and it makes a, you know, makes a community a safer and a happier place to be. So, you know, if somebody said that to me, I'd say, look, you know, the police will always do what they're paid to do, and they're very good at it. However, if you want to help it along a little bit, you know, there's things that you can do as well to assist.
And I can't imagine anybody living where they live not wanting that to be a safe environment. So, I mean, I'm aware of certain neighbourhoods, and I don't know whether most people have a Facebook page. So if we're looking at Frankston, they might have Frankston neighbourhood Facebook page, and then they will talk about a variety of things that are happening in Frankston, for example, that's similar, I guess, in some ways to Neighbourhood Watch. Because people are taking on a responsibility of, oh, I saw this yellow car driving down the street. Has anyone seen it? They're a bit suspicious. So, I mean, if you're running a Facebook page for a neighbourhood, perhaps we can encourage those people to become part of Neighbourhood Watch. And how would we do that? And then how would someone find their local Neighbourhood Watch group?
Yeah, the way they would find it is to go to the website, which we prepared earlier, which is nhw.com.au, and click a button that says something like find a group, email
located.
Us. Yeah.
And look, that's all, everybody, that was an excellent answer. And to really reinforce that, you must all have some positive stories from Neighbourhood Watch.
It's not necessarily a story from Neighbourhood Watch, but it is something, I think, that addresses what we've been discussing. I was at my second interview for this job, and the president of the organisation, Michael Strong, I said to him, now, what recent data, maybe last 10 years, some metrics, some facts and figures, that there's a neighbourhood watch there, and specifically this is how crime died, you know, how do we connect it? And he said, oh, no, we don't have any of that. And I said, well, why are we doing what we're doing? And he said, imagine being in a society where we didn't have this. And that really hit me. I thought that was really powerful.
Now, look, I think you're doing wonderful work, and I think it's a fantastic initiative. And getting the community involved and getting them talking and finding the new tools and moving with the times, you're doing great work. I'm really,
Thank
really
you,
proud
Will.
Of you. Yeah, you should all be happy with where it's been and where it's going. A big thank you to Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And CEO of Neighbourhood Watch, Bambi Gordon, thank you for coming in. And Gabby and Jan, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you. I thought you were going to go at the same time.
One, two, three.
Thank you.
Now, you can listen to all the Glow Show podcasts via the Joy website at www.joy.org.au/theglowshow. And be sure to listen to all your favourite shows at Joy 94.9. You can always catch up on all your shows anywhere at any time with their impressive program list of podcasts. Just visit the Joy website. You've been listening to the Victorian Police Glow Show. Keep up the great work, guys, and stay safe out there. Take care and goodbye.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.